Welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. A lot has changed in Silicon Valley since the dot-com bubble days. It's now home to a new generation of wealth with a whole new outlook on managing money. The Watching Your Wealth podcast examines all of this and more coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, while you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Lorraine Fox is Director of Wealth Management and Principal at Aspirant. She's here to discuss how the newly rich in Silicon Valley are managing their wealth. Welcome, Lorraine.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Lorraine, you had told me before that your Silicon Valley clients are more conservative with their spending compared to those who made their wealth during the dot-com bubble. Tell us about that.
Yes, I do see that as a very different trend from the first dot-com, where I think conspicuous consumption was more prominent. I think this generation of newly minted wealthy Silicon Valley denizens are not so much focused on material wealth, but more thinking about the long term, thinking about how to make their money last, and also the whole kind of concept of having a big house, having a flashy car is not so, you know, prominent. I talk to a lot of younger tech clients who don't own a car, who take Uber or public transportation around the Bay Area, or I should say Uber or Lyft. They rent, and they're kind of holding back.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're not into the flashy, as flashy lifestyle as folks in the past were?
You know, I think some awareness of the financial crisis really has made a permanent impact in the way people think about money. So I think because the stock market has demonstrated more volatility and kind of shorter cycles than in the past, people are just a little more cautious
and
a little more willing to kind of think about their goals and manage money to meeting those goals.
That makes sense. Now, you said these folks are more interested in philanthropy. Can you tell us about that trend?
Yeah, I actually have seen, thank you for bringing that up, I actually have seen a lot of clients who are interested in doing good with their investing. So either that means through impact investing or, you know, kind of dedicating some resources to some philanthropic effort. Those activities, again, are important.
From what I'm hearing, folks are wanting to do that now while they're young and they're alive. They're not waiting till they're dying to make an impact in terms of the charities and the causes they care about. They're giving back now.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very true. I see much more awareness and much more activity. In fact, our firm Aspirant hosted a Day of Impact event for clients and anyone interested last year. And it was very, very successful because one of the tenets that we were able to get across is that, you know, people can think creatively about philanthropy, and they actually can think about large-scale problems and figure out how to have an impact in a day. Like, it doesn't take a year of strategic analysis.
That's neat.
To do that, yeah.
Now, tell us, you said they're focusing more long-term in terms of their investments. How does that play out?
So really paying attention to a financial plan, trying to articulate what one's financial goals are, and then using a financial plan where we actually project out throughout the course of one's life through age 95 what that means in terms of how much do you have to invest, and how conservatively or moderately or aggressively one has to invest in order to meet one's goals. If one has a surplus, then one can think bigger about goals. If one has a shortfall, then perhaps we need to go back and rethink those goals. But I think starting with the foundation of what an individual's goals are is creating a much stronger context for how to view investing.
And if you're young, you have time on your side, so you might as well use that to your advantage. This is all very interesting, Lorraine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it, too.
My pleasure. This has been Watching Your Wealth, a production of The Wall Street Journal. I'm Veronica Dagger. For more information, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.